Well, good morning again. I'm excited to bring to you God's Word. I was reflecting on something my son said last night. We were winding down the day. People were slowly beginning to find their way to their bedrooms to where we could sleep. And he said, "Dad, it's going to be hard the rest of the semester, especially next week." And I remind them it's a sprint from here on to summer. You just get through spring break and Easter, and then you just got to put your head down and get done with school. But he said, "Man, I didn't want this weekend to end." And, you know, I was praying this morning, and because of the resurrection, there will be a day that the weekend never has to end. We will be with our brothers and sisters. We will be with our Heavenly Father. And there will be eternal joy, eternal celebration, eternal glorifying our God, our King, and our Savior. Last week, there is no doubt that was a tough sermon to preach. My kids were definitely said, "Dad, we didn't expect that. I didn't expect that." Thank goodness Douglas had a handkerchief. But as I began to preach about what was going on with Christ leading up to the crucifixion and his death, I just want to remind you there was hatred and plotting and betrayal. Satan was moving. He entered Judas and he wanted Peter. The disciples are arguing about who was the greatest. Peter's pride welled up, and then he denied Christ three times. Apathy in the disciples as they slept rather than pray. Keep us from temptation. There was the arrest of Jesus, the false charges, the mocking. The whole situation was being manipulated. First by the Sanhedrin as Jesus went before them. Then he went before Herod. Then he went before Pilate. There was the torture and the execution. The abandonment. The agonizing death. And finally, it was finished. And Christ was buried. That was tough to preach that. And those were dark hours. That was a dark day. But if you'll remember, even in the very last moment, there was that glimmer of hope as the thief on the cross realized that he was a sinner, deserving of death, deserving of crucifixion. That Christ was innocent, that he was the Son of God. He tells him, "Remember me when you enter into your kingdom." He knew that he was unable to save himself. There was no way he was getting off that cross. There was no way he was going to escape death. It was only moments away. And he put his faith in Christ. And there was that glimmer right there. But I want you to know that today is a day that is glorious. Amen? Amen. Man, it is a day of celebration. I prayed for you today. I have prayed for people in other churches. I have prayed for pastors preaching today, that today would mean something more than just Easter bunnies and eggs and new clothes. That it is a day of Christ's resurrection. Last week, tough sermon. Every pastor in the pulpit ought to be preaching with spring in his step today. Because it's good news. It's good news. Today we're going to be in Luke chapter 24, and I want to invite you to turn there. We're going to read just a portion of that, but I want to bring your attention to something that I just thought immediately when I opened it up and I started preparing for this week. The first thing that caught my attention was the very first word, "but." Think about that. What did I just describe to you? Everything that's been going on in chapter 22 and 23, and you get to 24, and there's that word. But. So with that in mind, let me pray over the reading of God's Word, and we'll read just a portion this morning, and then we'll just dive into, this is the last Sunday on the series, All In. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that we are all in, that we hold nothing back from you, that, Lord, you take all of us, and that, Lord, we would truly be fully devoted followers of Christ. Lord, I pray today as we read your word, as I preach your word, as we listen to your word, that you will be honored, you will be magnified by that, because you truly are the King of kings and Lord of lords. You are our Savior. Lord, I pray this morning we will leave changed. That if there's someone in this room and they're lost, they will leave found. They were dead when they walked in, but they will be alive when they walk out. Lord, I pray for those that are my brothers and sisters here that Lord, that encouragement or conviction, however you know that their heart needs to be changed, that their heart needs to be molded by you this morning, I pray that that happens through the reading and the preaching and listening of your word. Lord, I love you, and it's in Jesus' name that I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we honor the reading of God's word? Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 1. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves, and he went home marveling at what had happened. Would you please be seated? Pain, suffering, turmoil, death. And 24, chapter 24 begins with the word, but. It is a conjunction of contrast. It is a word that tells us there is more to the story, but it is completely different than what you just heard. What was presented beforehand was the world thought there was defeat, but there was victory. The world thought it was the end of Christ, but it was just the beginning. The world thought that there was only death, but I've got news for you. There was life. Amen? You see, the deal is that when we are all in, and that's what we've been talking about, what is it to be all in, to be fully devoted? And I want you to know, to be all in means this, means that we struggle at times in our faith. And I know you're going, no, if you're all in, you don't struggle. And yet I'm telling you, you do. You do struggle. What if I told you that our struggle in our faith, that God uses that for His glory? Would you believe that? That our struggle in our faith, He uses that for His glory. I want you to know, all over America, all over the world, there are people who attend church today for several different reasons. Some of us attend because we are here to celebrate our Lord Jesus Christ's resurrection. Amen? Come on, you can do better than that. We are here to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen? Some are in church today not for that reason. Some are in church today because it's tradition. You get new clothes. You went and visit. You got a 3-day weekend. Some people, 4-day weekend. You go visit mom and dad. And you always did this on Easter. You always got new clothes, a new tie, something like that. New dress. And you get up Sunday morning. I know our tradition was, and you got up, and there were Easter eggs already hidden. And then you would go through that routine. You'd eat a big breakfast, and then you'd go to church. And that's what it was. And now today, for some, they're still doing that because they're appeasing mom and dad. Mom and dad still go to church, but they're not going anymore. But it's Easter Sunday, and they're at home with mom and dad, and it's just what you do. We're going to do that. We're not going to cause any problems. We'll go to church on Easter Sunday. And this will be the only Sunday until maybe next Easter or Christmas. That's what some will do. Some are here just because, and I'm just going to say it, because on Easter, a lot of churches pull out all the stops. It's a show. Man, there are churches that are dropping Easter eggs from helicopters. I read one church where the Easter Bunny is parachuting onto the church grounds on Sunday morning. I'm not kidding. I just read that the other day. And people go, I got to see that. I got to go see that. And that's the reason some are in church. But I want you to know, no matter why you are here, I want you to know why we, Christians, love Easter Sunday. Because we believe that Jesus died on the cross on Friday, but on Sunday, he rose from the grave. We believe that he was fully dead, but then he was fully alive. He wasn't just a ghost. He wasn't a spirit. The women at the tomb, nor the 11 disciples, nor the two on the road to Emmaus, which is in this chapter, nor the 500 who saw him afterward for the 40 days. None of them thought this was going to happen. And it is that doubt, that lack of faith that God uses for his glory. None of them thought it was going to happen. They were not looking for a resurrected Messiah on that Sunday. None of them thought this could be happening. Matter of fact, when you look at chapter 24, let me just point out some things. The women didn't think that Jesus was going to be alive. They are going to the tomb to prepare a dead body. They did not think, let's just go and see if he's there. They're going because they believe he truly is there and truly is dead. They didn't believe that he rose from the dead. The 11 apostles didn't believe. When the women show up and they tell them, by the way, two angels, men in dazzling apparel, two angels told us that he wasn't here, and they go to the apostles and they tell them he wasn't there. What do they think? Idle tale. No big deal. Can't be true. The two on the road to Emmaus, they don't believe it. When Jesus appears to them and starts asking them about what's been going on in Jerusalem, because they can't believe he doesn't know. They don't mention a word about a resurrection. Did you notice that? If you've read this chapter, when they talk to Jesus, and Jesus hadn't revealed himself yet, but when they talk to him, guess what happens? They start talking about the fact that he was crucified and that the women even said, and I want to quote to you, it says this, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels. Think about what's being said there. Not only do we believe that he hasn't been resurrected, we don't necessarily believe that the women even saw angels. We believe they even said they saw a vision of angels. They don't believe it. Even when Jesus appears to the disciples, notice in verse 37, they were startled and frightened and they thought they saw a spirit. And then it tells us in verse 41, and while they still disbelieved. They still disbelieved. So if this morning, if you're sitting here and you're going, Pastor, that's fine for you if you believe. But I just don't believe. I want you to know you line up with the apostles where they were 2,000 years ago. They didn't believe. And God uses their lack of faith, their disbelief for his glory. I know that the world is a much different place. And you may go, that may have been a great tale for back in the ancient world, but we're so much more advanced, Paul. I mean, we've got iPhones, we've got the internet, we've traveled to outer space, we put a man on the moon, we are curing diseases, we've got all this advancement. But I've got news for you. They understood death the same way we understood death. Nothing's changed in that. They understood death probably better than we do. We're so isolated from it. You realize that, right? I mean, y'all know I love red meat. I love a good steak. But I have never slaughtered an animal to have that good steak. They were used to death. Their lifespan wasn't as long as ours. They were used to burying kinfolk. They were used to slaughtering their animals so that they could eat. They understood sacrifices. They understood death probably better than we do. And I got news for you. They knew that Jesus Christ had fully died. And just because we are advanced technology, for some reason we think, well, even though they could believe a risen Savior then, we're so much more advanced. I got news for you. There are believers all over this world. We use all the same technology that the lost use. We have all the same phones. We go to all the same universities. We have all the same careers. And I've got news for you. There was a time when I thought, no way. It couldn't have happened. Dead people don't rise from the dead. Many of y'all know my father passed away 2 years ago. I do not go to his gravesite looking for him to come out of the ground. I just don't. I don't go to my mom's house going, "Is Dad here?" He's dead. There's no difference here. But the thing about it is, the truth of Christ's resurrection, it's true. Amen? He did rise from the grave. And as J.C. Ryle wrote, "Let us cling firmly to the resurrection of Christ as one of the pillars of the gospel. It ought to produce in our minds a settled conviction of the truth of Christianity. Our faith does not sit merely on this text nor on a set of doctrines. It is founded on a mighty fact which the skeptic has never been able to disprove." For 2,000 years, people have questioned this every angle that you could possibly think of. But I got news for you. It has stood the test of time because it is true. The truth always stands the test of time. It is a lie that will fail every single time. Lies do not change the world. The truth does. You might be asking, what does this have to do with being all in? I want you to see that even though we are people of faith, we do struggle at times. And God uses that, because the first preachers of the gospel were men who were convinced despite their unwillingness to believe. They did not believe. Despite their complete lack of faith that Jesus would rise again, they were the ones who went to their grave proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. I want you to know, I'm so tired of the testimony of this. Believers, we need to leave this testimony. Just get rid of it. "Well, I grew up in the church, so it was just kind of normal that I would, you know, follow Jesus Christ." That's a lie from Satan. There is nothing natural or normal to believing in God of Scripture. That is not normal. That is God moving in His people. There is nothing normal about, well, people just rise from the grave. There's nothing normal about believing in a person who dies and comes back to life. There is nothing natural or normal to dying to self. That did not happen just because you grew up in the church. There are lots of people who grew up in the church and completely deny the faith today. That is not natural. It is supernatural. It is God moving in people. That's the reason that people trust in Jesus Christ. I get what some people would suggest. That, well, you grew up in the church, so you heard those stories, so of course you believe. Are you crazy? That's not the way it works. Adults, think about it just for a moment. Didn't we all hear stories that when we were younger we believed? But now you know are not true. And because I know there are children in here, and some of those stories you may still be telling. I've told y'all before, my dad used to tell us about how, and I'm not going to get into the whole drama of it, but he used to tell us about how when he would go to work, again, I'm 49, I grew up in the age of cowboys and Indians, he used to tell us how the Indians would chase him to work. And how he barely made it into work before the arrows got him, that they flew right by his head. And as little children, what'd we go? Wow. But eventually, I went to his office, I was like, there's no teepees out here. There's a parking lot with cars. I didn't believe those idle tales anymore. And if you think that just because you heard those stories as a little one, and so it was just natural for you to believe, I got news for you. Just the way that I showed up at my dad's office and went, wait a minute, this can't be true, you will have a crisis of belief. And you'll have to ask yourself the question, is this true? Is this true? Do you really believe that a man who claimed to be God died and rose again? And again, to steal from C.S. Lewis, if you're either believing in a liar, a lunatic, or your faith is in the Lord. You see, the disciples did not create what they wanted to believe. That's where we've got to get past this idea That they always knew that he would rise from the dead, and they wanted to believe that. They didn't. They didn't believe it. And it's the fact that God used their disbelief for his glory. Our disbelief for his glory. None of them expected Christ to not be there. If you'll remember, if you know Scripture well enough, if you know the Gospels, there was only one group that wanted to make sure that Jesus stayed there, and that was the Sanhedrin. They're the ones who placed the guards there. They weren't thinking that he would rise from the dead. They just wanted to make sure that no one stole the body. But the idea that the apostles would go and steal the body, that would mean that they would think that he wouldn't, that they needed to get him to fulfill some prophecy. They didn't believe it. They didn't think it would happen. So I want you to know that yes, all in means that we struggle at times in our faith, but God uses it for his glory. Last point for being all in. And I see this all the way through Luke 24. All in means that we need to grow and be reminded. I see this over and over again. If you look, if you have your Bibles open, if you look at verse 6, you'll remember, because it says it right here, the women show up at the grave and the angels tell him, he's not here, he has risen. Remember, he told you he was going to do this. Remember that. He told you over and over he wasn't going to be here. Then on the third day he would rise again. In verse 25, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory? In other words, he's going, it's already been written. It was already there for you to see. But you don't remember. You didn't grow. You didn't see it. Verse 44, then he, Jesus, said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was with you. In other words, I already told you these things. I was with you. I said these very things, and you didn't remember. But not only that, look what he says. These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets, that's the entire Old Testament, the law and the prophets, it was written about me, but you didn't get it. You realize that everything that took place, the crucifixion, the mockery, the torture, dying on a cross, the death, the resurrection, all of it had been told by Christ or the prophets before it ever happened. When you go back and look at the book of Luke, and here's where I want you, especially those of you who are my brothers and sisters, listen to me carefully. He told them, you can go back, it's in the captions even, that even brings your attention to it. I realize the captions are not the word of God, but it does draw your attention to what's being said. Three times it says that Jesus tells them about his death and resurrection. Three times. Two of those times, it says that they didn't understand. And do you know why they didn't understand what was going on? Do you know why? Because Jesus Christ did not fit their idea of a Messiah. That's why they didn't get it. John MacArthur said it this, they were looking for a coronation, not a crucifixion. It is amazing, brothers and sisters, it is amazing how many different ideas there are about Jesus Christ because we are not growing in our faith and we're not reminded who he is, who he was. One of the reasons that people fall away from the church is that we seem to have this idea. Well, we got them saved. Man, they said, I trust in Jesus Christ. We got them baptized, and that's the end. We did our job. And I got news for you. What happens is that crisis of belief happens. And here's the thoughts. Just like the apostles, he wasn't the Messiah that they thought he would be. We begin to do this. Well, that's why did this happen to my life? If he truly is God and Savior, why did this happen in my life? God didn't act in the way that I thought he should have acted. God didn't do what I thought he should have done. He doesn't fit our idea, by the way, our sinful thoughts of who he should be because we have not grown in our faith and we have not remembered who he is. And just like the apostles, we had an idea of what God was supposed to be like, but we didn't grow and we didn't remember. Just think about this. Right before the crucifixion, what did the Lord Christ bring about? What did he introduce to the apostles? The Lord's Supper, in order to remember. Because we are prone to forget. As I end this series, it's interesting that I'm ending it and saying this on Easter Sunday. Just like the crucifixion wasn't the end, trusting in Christ is not the end. It's just the beginning. The apostles had to be retaught. He goes in and he looks at the law and he looks at the prophets and he's like, you missed it all. Let me reteach you. Let me show you. There are some of you in here, you have your ideas about the Messiah. You have your ideas about Christ. And let me tell you, they are not in line with Scripture. And there are times when you have to be, and I have to be, retaught. And usually that happens in the moment of crisis. I remember I've shared this story with you many times. There was a young man, I went to go visit him in his home. And I was sharing the gospel with him, and there was something that he said, and immediately it kind of keyed me in onto a thought process that he was having, and I said, wait a minute. So you believe that baptism is a must to be saved? He said, absolutely. You must be baptized to be saved. Without baptism, you're not saved. And I said, is it possible that perhaps you've been taught wrong? I said, because I want you to know, I see that it is not. It's important, don't get me wrong, it is important in following Christ that we ought to be baptized. In Acts chapter 2, when they are preaching the gospel and they are convicted, they ask, what must we do? And he says, repent and be baptized. Yes, that is very important. That's part of being obedient. But it is not a must for salvation. And immediately he became very defensive. Yes, it is. And I said, well, I'm just curious, what do you do with the thief on the cross? Because he was certainly saved and he was not baptized. But I could give you other examples. And for me, that was a moment of, you must study God's word. You must see who he really is and get rid of your preconceived ideas of Christ, preconceived ideas of God. We need to be reminded and we must grow. Amen? It is amazing how many will go to church on Easter Sunday. And after that, we'll see. Perhaps they will return next year. Perhaps they may show up at Christmas. And although all of Scripture points to the arrival, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Christ, there is so much more. Brothers and sisters, amen? There's so much more. Man, God's word challenges, it convicts, it encourages. It tells us who our Creator is. And it tells us who God is and what He's like. It tells us why we're here and what's wrong in the world. It tells us more than just Jesus' birth and resurrection. You realize for those who show up on Christmas and Easter, that's what they hear, the birth and the resurrection. There's so much more about Christ's life. There's more about his life, what he said and what he taught and how he lived. Don't you want to know what happens next? There's more good news after Christ rose from the dead. By the way, Luke goes on. There's more to the story. And if you think it's not important, then ask yourself the question, why did God put it in his word? Don't you want to know how we ought to be as a church and how we ought to live? What pleases the Lord and where are we falling short? I could do this all day. But I've got news for you. The questions that you have, at least the important ones, the answers are right here. We must remember and grow. So let me conclude with this. If you are lost, if today you walked in here and you're going, I'm here. But seriously, a man rising from the dead, that doesn't happen. I know that, but it did this time. And if today you believe If you trust in Christ, know this. It's not just something that naturally happened. You didn't just come to the conclusion on your own. It's that the Lord is revealing Himself to you spiritually in the same way that He revealed Himself to those apostles who are going, that just doesn't happen. It just doesn't happen. You cannot choose the Lord without the Lord first choosing you. If for the first time you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He died on the cross, that He rose from the dead, that you as a sinner cannot save yourself and you need Christ, I've got news for you. There is so much more to do. Man, that faith, that comes from the Lord, but oh man, growth and remembering and your faith just exploding as you fall in love with the Lord. Well, what do I do next? Well, again, in Scripture it tells us, repent and be baptized. That's the beginning. That's the beginning of your journey. Turn from your sins and follow the Lord. So if this morning, if you believe, when we have the invitation, I'm going to be here to receive you, but you can just simply come forward, and you're doing business with the Lord, not with me, and simply say, I believe. I trust. I walked in here and I thought this was ridiculous, but now I know it to be true. That's between you and the Lord. And let us celebrate that with you. And Easter will be forever changed for you. Church, my brothers and sisters, perhaps today you're remembering for the first time. Remembering why you believe and what you believe. Look right here. Continue this journey with me. Until we draw our last breath on this planet. Man, let's continue to grow in our faith. Let's continue to remember why we love the Lord, and that the fact that the Lord first loved us. We need to keep growing, keep remembering, because we truly are people who tend to forget. I mean, you would think that these apostles, oh yeah, I remember that. And he's going, you didn't remember. I told you. I told you this was going to happen. There are things that you heard in Sunday school a year ago. There are things that you heard in a sermon 6 months ago you've already forgotten. And the Lord's gone, I know that. So don't neglect coming together so that you grow together, so that your faith increases. I've seen it 1,000 times as a pastor. The person who begins to drift away from going to church, it becomes less and less. Less and less they're with their brothers and sisters. Less and less they're spending time in the Word. Less and less they're hearing the preaching of the gospel. Less and less they are accountable to their brothers and sisters. And before you know it, they've completely forgotten what they once proclaimed. I know there are times when you may go, I just don't know. I don't know if I believe. Even the apostles were there. And the Lord, I've said this over and over, the Lord holds on to you. You don't hold on to Him. And even in those times when you're going, I just don't know if I can believe, you'll remember the man whose son possessed by a demon. And Jesus asking, don't you believe I can cast out this demon? And you remember what He says? I believe, but what? Help my unbelief. And God used that for His glory. God used the apostles who didn't even think for a moment this could happen, and yet they were the first preachers of the gospel. God can use your struggle in your faith to His greatest glory. I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask that you move as God is telling you to move. If no one comes, we'll close very quickly. But I got news for you. The Easter ham will wait. Paris is going to be here taking pictures. That will wait. Let's do business with the Lord. Amen? Let's do business with the Lord this morning. Is Easter going to be different for you after today than it ever has been before? Let's pray and you respond to the Lord. Let's pray, church.